Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
August 5th, 2008, The Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, inside the Olympic Media Center. Welcome back to another Digital Story. I have some interesting insights for you today. Right now, as you're listening to this, I am in Beijing, and I'm working inside the Media Center at the Olympics. We're actually getting it set up. The Olympics begin on August 8th. And I thought, well, you might be interested to kind of know what happens in there. Now, as you may or may not know, the Media Center is the place where photographers, journalists, all those types of folks can come to bring their pictures, their stories and everything, and send them out to the world, organize their stuff, you know, all the kind of work that you need to do. It's inside, it's air conditioned, which is really important because right now, in Beijing, it is very hot, over 90 degrees on some days with the humidity way, way, way up there. So it's very hot and muggy. We all know about the smog situation there and that it's very difficult, very thick, sometimes with ratings up around 160 or so. And, you know, of course, 50 is about the limit for what is healthy for most folks. So it can be very smoggy, the air quality just terrible. And, of course, not only does that affect lungs and performance and how you feel in general, it also affects the pictures, right? I grew up in Southern California during a time when I was younger where the smog sometimes was just absolutely, you know, I won't say horrible, but it certainly wasn't good. And as a photographer, I hated it. It just it whited out the skies. There was no color in the sky. The sky would be, especially if you shot black and white, the sky would just go completely white. There'd be nothing there. It's like you're looking right at the paper when you're printing on it. So, you know, smog is just not good for anything, aesthetically or health reasons. And so the Media Center sort of, not only does it provide a place to work, it also provides, you know, a refuge from the elements that these guys are working in. And inside the Media Center, it's like a little city, actually. There are cafes, places to eat, a post office, you know, all this kind of stuff. So you can go in there if you have a pass and, you know, get nourish yourself a little bit, cool off a little bit, get out of the smog, and get your work done. Now, what's interesting is exactly how this whole thing is set up. And I don't think this is anything that I can't disclose. There's no NDA on you know, how big the Media Center is or anything. So I'm going to actually take you inside and just kind of give you a feel for what's going on there. First of all, it's just big, big, big. And I mean, when you look at this thing, it goes on forever. And so there's a computer area. And when I say computer area, I'm talking about rows and rows and rows of tables with computers on them. And to give you an idea of what I'm talking about here, now one of the major sponsors for the Beijing Olympics is, you know, Lenovo. And they, you know, I think they're based in Beijing. And so they are providing, you know, the PCs, the Windows computers. And there are, I think they're providing in the Media Center itself 50 workstations right there that they have set up and ready to go. Now, Apple is also participating, and Apple has 50 workstations set up there also. So Lenovo has 50 workstations, Apple has 50 workstations. Though part of the reason why I'm there, in fact, the reason why I'm there is that I'm there to help photographers who want to work at the Macintosh workstations use all the tools, not only the Mac itself, but Aperture that's loaded on those computers, and then just help them get done whatever they need to get done. I know photography, I know digital imaging, I know Aperture, and I know Macs, and I like photographers, so it's not a bad fit. Now, they also have set up something like 30 laptop spaces. Actually, I'm looking at this right now, and it looks more like 80 laptop spaces. So there's another, you know, I mean, when I say a space, I mean, you know, there's a place to sit, place to plug in, place to do all of this in all these tables. 80 spots for laptops. And then they have like another 30 spots that are reserved, and I'm not sure who they're reserved for. So there's something like over 200 positions within this media center where photographers can work at any given time. So at any given time, we could have over 200 people in there working at the workstations themselves. Now, Canon has a, they have an area set up here. So for consulting and, you know, for their customers, as does Nikon. And Kodak has an area set up. And then there's, you know, all the other kind of services and so forth there also. All in this gigantic room that's right inside the Olympic Village. Now, what's going to be interesting over the course, once the Olympics actually get going, and obviously I can't report on that now because they haven't started yet, but once they get going, it will be interesting for me to see how all these interactions go. You know, how are these photographers, you know, what when they come in, I imagine it's going to be like any sort of retail job or anything else, where some of them are going to be great and easy to work with, and some of them will be very difficult. What I'm hoping to do for the folks that are, you know, that I'll be working with, I hope to get some great stories, some great insights. I have my little portable podcast recording unit with me. So anyone that's willing to do an interview that I think has an interesting story to tell, I'm going to try to get them on mic and bring back this stuff, not only for Digital Story, but for also O'Reilly Digital Media and Apple and, you know, anyone that really wants to use it. And what I'm looking for during this week is sort of the story behind the story, the inside thing. You know, I might not be at any given venue at any given time. I mean, I'm going to be holed up in the media center most of the time, but I'll be talking to people who are just at, you know, whatever, the basketball arena, or who are just out at track and field, or any of those places. I'll be looking at their pictures, and I'll be hearing the stories that they have to tell. So I think that's fascinating. I think the other thing that's very interesting is that I get to see the Olympics the last few days before it opens up. And so, like, whenever you're getting ready for any sort of big event, I think that's fascinating to me, is how do they pull it off? How do you go from, oh my God, we still have, you know, 587 things to do and we have 2 days to get them done, to, you know, the lights go on and suddenly the whole world is watching you. So there's going to be some fascinating stuff there, and I hope some good stories for me to tell there also. And then another thing that is going to be interesting is just dealing with the environment itself. There are a lot of people in a small space right now. It's very hot and humid, as I said before. And how is everyone going to react to this? How are people going to cope with the stress and the heat and the lack of sleep and all that sort of stuff that's going on? And I'm sure I'm not... There probably won't be some great stories in that in itself, but I'm certain that those elements will filter, will color some of the stories that I come back with. So you just roll all this stuff up together, and you have potential for some great stuff, and also just for some very long, hard days. Now, it's been interesting for me because, fortunately, one of the guys on our team, actually the guy that will be my supervisor, headed out before the rest of us, and is there sort of scouting things out, receiving the shipments and all that. And he's been sending back some reports, and they've been very helpful in terms of, you know, for the rest of us packing and getting ready to go. And then I've been, you know, reading some blogs and so forth from other folks that are already on the ground there in Beijing. And one of the things I can tell right now is this, you know, I'm going to be working with people and in a very hot and sticky environment. How am I going to keep cool? And so suddenly, as I'm reading these reports from people coming back, I'm going, you know what? I need to take like a big thing of baby powder or talcum powder. You know, I need to have a little bag with me with a change of clothes, or at least a shirt, you know, that I can change into. I probably will need to carry a deodorant and stuff with me while I'm on the go. So these are things that, you know, a lot of times when I'm preparing for an assignment, I don't have to think about so much. And these are going to, these factors, these environmental factors are going to definitely have their role in the overall scenario here. Then the other thing is my bag itself. And it was interesting. I've done some writing about this already, and you may have seen some of the blog posts. But my original plan was to have just one bag that I could carry with me at all times that would have my computer, my recording equipment, and my camera stuff. And then that way I figured I was always mobile. I could always, you know, be anywhere and have everything that I needed. And it's still a good plan. I'm sticking with it, but I'll tell you what's in the bag, and then I'll tell you some of the variations on that plan, mainly because of the reports I've gotten back. So in the bag, normally I work with a 17-inch computer, but I'm not taking that for this trip. For one reason, there are going to be 50 Mac workstations there in the media center, so and I'm working in the media center, so I should have access to those if I need a bigger screen. So I'm going to go with my little MacBook and, you know, those very petite white ones. I love that computer. It's very light. For one thing, I can open it on the flight to Beijing. It's a 12-hour flight from San Francisco to Beijing. And I'm going to, you know, want to do some computer work. I got lots of work to do. And I'm on a plane, so I might as well get some of it done. So I'm taking the little MacBook. I can open it on the plane, and it fits in my bag and it's light. Now, I will take an extra battery with me. And I went back and forth on this because I'm really trying to keep the weight down and everything. But I figured that since I'm flying in coach on United, I probably won't have power at my seat. So even if I had an airline power adapter, I probably wouldn't have anywhere to plug it into. And then that thing's only good for the flight. Whereas thinking that if I had an extra battery for the computer, then not only could I have two fully charged batteries for the flight, then over the course of long days, if I needed to, I would have a second battery that I could use. Or if it just worked out where I didn't need to have it, I could leave the battery back in the room on days that I don't need it. So I'm going to go with the MacBook and an extra battery. Now, in terms of camera stuff, since I'm not an official Olympic photographer, I'm there working in the media center with the photographers, then I don't have to pack like I'm going to be shooting, you know, track and field out there with a long lens and everything. So, and this was interesting for me to think about how to pack for this assignment. So I am going to take my 70 to 200, my Canon L F4 7200. It's, I think, one of the best lenses they make. It's one of my favorite lenses. It's nice and light, actually. And I'll take the 1.4x multiplier. So then that way, if I do get a chance to shoot at a venue, then at least I'll have a 280 millimeter lens. And I am taking it, I am taking the monopod also. I'm not taking a tripod, but I'm going to take a monopod. And then I'm going to take the tripod collar for the Canon, and that's really nice. And I wrote about this in the blog, and I'll tell you, if you don't have one of these, if you shoot with this lens or any of the lenses that take a tripod collar, they are terrific. They're really light. You just mount them on the monopod. Your camera lens goes in the collar, and then you can tighten and loosen it, and then you can just rotate your camera any way you want. Plus, because of where the center is of gravity, the camera is very balanced on the monopod, and they look good too. I mean, on top of everything else. So I'm taking that and that lens with the 1.4. And like I said, I probably won't be doing a lot of venue shooting, if any, but I do want to have, I want to have the ability to have reach in case an opportunity comes up. Now, a lens that I'll probably be using a lot more, believe it or not, is the Sigma 50 millimeter lens. I got that 50 millimeter, that f1.4 lens. I had written about it back when it first came out, it was a few months ago. And I was very interested in it because I'm not that thrilled with the 50 millimeters that Canon offers. It's funny, they offer three of them, and I don't really like any of them. The 51.8, which is the lens that I tell everyone that they should have, and I agree with that, I have one myself, is a great lens that you should have. But, it's not a serious lens in the sense that, it's slow to focus. It's a little noisy, and the reason why I tell people they should have it is because it's less than $100, and it gives you an f1.8 lens. But beyond that, for serious work, it's frustrating sometimes. And then they do make a 50 f1.4, which is more what I want, but it's not that sharp of a lens, and I don't really like the way that it's made either. And then they make this really nice 50 f1.2, but it's big and heavy, and it's really expensive, and I don't want to spend that much money or lug around that much weight for a 50 millimeter. So I'm not really thrilled with any of them. So then when the 50 f1.4 came out from Sigma, I was pretty interested in it. And, it mounts on Nikon and Canon and obviously Sigma and I believe Sony too. I don't remember if it mounts on Pentax or not, but I know it does on those four. And you have to buy the specific mount for what you're doing. But I started testing it, and I just really like that lens a lot. You can get a really soft background with it. It's very fast. It has what I call character. I mean, it has its look. I mean, I can tell when I shot with that lens. It has its look. And they put an ultrasonic motor in it, so it focuses pretty fast. Not quite as fast as my top-of-the-line Canon lenses, but very decent indeed, and it's quiet. So, and it costs a lot less than the 51.2. I think it's $490, which is a lot for a 50 millimeter lens, but then again, it's a lens that I think I'm going to get some really great shots with. So finally, I get to replace my 51.8. I get to leave it at home. I put it in another kit. I'll hang on to it because it is a good lens and it's sharp. But finally, I get to replace it with that Sigma 50 f1.4, and I'm really thrilled about that. So then the third lens I'm going to take, and it's only three lenses, and these are all for my Canon 5D digital SLR, will be the 16-35 f2.8 zoom. And it's a new one, the 2. And it's a lovely lens. And again, when you're in tight quarters or you want to shoot something big, especially on the 5D that has that full-size image sensor, that 16 millimeter wide end is lovely. And it's sharp and it's beautiful. So I'm taking that. So those are my three lenses. I'm taking the 16-35 f2.8, the 50 f1.4, and the 70-200 f4 with a 1.4 multiplier. And then I'll take my G9, both as a backup camera, but also as a camera when I want to be inconspicuous. Because I've read a couple of places that I have a certain type of media badge, but it's not the full-blown media badge. So I have, there's certain areas I can't get into. I don't have that, that press pass, for example, that gets you right down on the ground at a venue. So when I do get into venues, sometimes I'll be in the stands or somewhere on the periphery there. And the thing that I've heard is that you have to be very careful. You have to feel out the situation, and you don't want to pull out a digital SLR, let's say with my 70 to 200, you know, white lens on there with a multiplier, because if I don't have the right kind of media credentials, I could actually, you know, be asked to leave. And I don't want to run into that. So if I'm in a situation where I want to take some pictures, but I want to be off the radar a little bit, don't want to get in trouble or get tossed out of something, then I'm going to want to have my G9, because then with the G9, I look like a tourist. It takes very good pictures. I can shoot raw with it. It has a 6x zoom lens, so I can get in fairly tight. Obviously, it doesn't have the performance that the 5D does. But then again, you know, we're talking about situations where, you know, you're in a compromised situation and you still want to get some shots. And there are always interesting shots to be had, regardless of your limitations on vantage point and so forth. You know, I'm always working to get the best vantage point I can, but at the same time, I'm not going to not shoot if I don't get exactly what I want. And a lot of my favorite shots have come from, compromised situations where I wasn't able to get exactly where I wanted to go, and I got more creative. It sort of kicked my creative juices into another gear. So at any rate, so I'll have the Canon G9 for all of those uses. It'll be the camera that I go to when I want to leave the 5D in the bag, and I don't want to draw a lot of attention to myself. So that's going to be the photography rig. I'll take an Expo disc, so I'll be shooting indoors a lot without flash, and so I want to be able to do custom white balance, and the Expo disc is great for that. I'll take a little external hard drive, a little 120 gigabyte hard drive that I can use as my backup drive for pictures. And then I will take my M-Audio portable recorder, and that's what I use. You've heard it many times when I've been doing interviews on the road and so forth. And I'm taking a couple different microphones for it. I'll take a stereo mic that's like a omnidirectional sort of thing. And that way I can just capture, you know, ambient sounds and so forth. And those are great sometimes for slideshows and so forth. When you're running a lot of still pictures, if you have some good audio, some nice stereo audio to go with it of the environment, this is a tip here. I should note, you know, giving tip now. If you have some nice stereo audio to go with it, it really jazzes up the slideshow nicely. And it kind of is a break from, you know, just having music or however you normally do slideshows. So I'll have a stereo microphone to do that. And then I'll have a lavalier mic that I can clip to my shirt if I just want to talk in sort of a noisy environment. That helps minimize the sound around me. And then I'll have a handheld mic that has a pretty narrow gradient. I've had this mic for a long time, and it's nice and small. It's not as narrow as a shotgun mic that I use a lot, that you hear a lot when I'm doing interviews on the road. The problem with a shotgun mic is too big, it's too long, and it doesn't really work in this kit. So this mic is only about 5 inches tall, and it has a little windscreen and so forth, but it has a fairly narrow pattern too. And I can use that for interviewing folks where I hold the mic in front of them, they talk, I bring it back to me and do that back and forth. I have a pretty good technique on that. So it's not too noisy. I don't create too much noise when I'm doing that. So it's funny, audio is not that much different than photography really. And a lot of the same things, principles that I use for good capture and photography, I do so in audio. And it's also funny that you need to have these different microphones, just like you need to have different lenses. So interesting stuff. So I'll have all of that with me. I'll have my chargers obviously with me at all times, so that if I run low, hopefully I can charge up in the media center there. It was interesting, as I was looking, the adapters or the plugs in China are very similar to the ones that I use here in the U.S., except they don't have holes in the prongs. So it looks like I have one adapter that's specifically Chinese that I can use for my laptop. And of course, you know, if you have to, you can plug a bunch of stuff into your laptop, such as your phones and so forth. But it looks like I'll be able to use everything that I have and all the stuff. You know, the good thing about electronics these days is that it's rated all the way up to usually to 240 So that, you know, the electrical current shouldn't be a problem there. So I should be in pretty good shape that way. I am taking, by the way, two phones. I'll take my iPhone because it's sort of my pocket computer. And I added some apps to it. I added a recording app so that I could just do quick audio notes and then send them to myself as QuickTime attachments. That's a pretty cool little application. Lonely Planet makes a Mandarin a phrase book that you can download at the App Store for the iPhone. That's free. And not only does it have a whole bunch of phrases in it, it also writes them out for you. And if you hit it, it will speak them for you. And so, worst case scenario, I can, you know, if I have a phrase that I can't pronounce, I can hit the thing and then actually just hold up the iPhone and let it speak my question. So I hope I don't have to use that too often because that feels sort of awkward. But it's nice to have, you know, that backup plan. So I have that loaded on there, and then I have some, you know, just other goodies because it will be my my portable computer. I'm going to turn off data roaming so I don't run up a huge bill while I'm there. But for connectivity, I'm also taking my little Sony Ericsson W810i phone. That's a four-band phone, and it's unlocked. So if I can get a GSM card at the airport in Beijing, then I'll have a local number, and that would really help. So, you know, that's my plan. So that's the bag I'm going to have with me. Now, the way, you know, based on the reports I'm getting, that I'm going to sort of alter that a little bit is that it's really hot there. So I'm going to, you know, and I guess that even that bag against your skin and that humidity can be too much. So I'm going to have some littler bags with me also, so that if I have a place to stash the big bag, I can do that and then just take a couple little satellite bags that are a lot lighter, with just some specific gear in it. And so that way I won't be saddled with a huge bag all the time. So anyway, that is the deal. Now, it's going to be interesting to see what actually happens once all of this gets going. Everything, all my plans, all my great ideas may just all go flying out the window, and I'll have to make new stuff up on the fly. And regardless of what happens, I'll be reporting in a couple places. I'll be reporting best I can on the Digital Stories blog posts and so forth, and recording audio for these podcasts. And then I'm going to try to post on Twitter also. And I'm on Twitter as Derek_story. So if you want to see kind of the stuff as it's happening, you might want to follow me on Twitter. And then I'll be doing some reporting on O'Reilly Digital Media too, which is digitalmedia.oreilly.com. So it's going to be an interesting 2 weeks. I hope you'll be hearing lots from me. And I think, let me see, well, I should do just a little bit here, thank our sponsors and do photo assignment, right, before I sign off. So I will do that. First, I'll do photo assignment. It's competition for August. Well, I wonder where that came from, but that is the photo assignment for August competition. And then also thank our sponsors, four of them, Low Pro Bags, Photomagico, Red River Paper Company, right? A very, very excellent paper company that's offering a special to digital story readers, and ExpoDisc, which I will be using at the Olympics themselves. So, okay, now I'm going to sign off. I got to get back to work here. Hopefully, I'll have a show next week. Cross your fingers that I can pull that off. I'll keep you posted. Wish me luck, and I will be talking to you soon. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.